So we all know summer is approaching, which is very exciting. Warmer days are coming. So fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-created meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto.
Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for?
With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have a new flavor to explore.
Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust.
Make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like shrimp and blackened salmon.
Keep your kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up, which Lou hates to do.
I do. I hate cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage your calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well and balanced, which just makes cooking and meal prep easy at home. Not that you're cooking or meal prepping, they've done it all for you.
Head to factormeals.com/common50 and use common50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off for your next month. That's code common50 at factormeals.com/common50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, guys. I'm back with another solo ep. You guys have been loving Ashton and I's solo eps, so we thought we would do some more. I'm in the studio today. I've just done an episode with Ash, and we're going to do another one after, but we're doing a little intermission with the solo. Last time, I guess I had a bit of a plan out for wanting to talk about anxiety stuff and tips for that. So I hope you enjoyed that. Today, I thought I'd just keep it a bit lighter and we just have a little bit of a chat. And yeah, I go back to London soon in 2 and a bit weeks. So I've just been kind of lapping up my last few weeks here in Oz. I'm on the Gold Coast right now for a few days. I'm going to Brisbane tomorrow. I'm going to go catch up with my grandma. Guys, I love my nan. Like, she is the sweetest, cutest woman in the world. I don't know if it, you guys are the same, like with your moms and your grandparents or your dad. I don't know, any family members that are older. I feel like they are the biggest hype people on social media. Like, my nan responds to every single story I post, like, love you so much, love heart eyes, fire emoji, like my biggest hype woman. And she's just so proud of everything. And I think that there's no love that really compares to having like a grandma's love. So I'm going to go see her. I told her I was coming and she's like, this has made my day. I'm so excited to see you, like, blah, blah, blah. So I think this is my reminder to check in with your grandparents because they are really cute and they would probably appreciate a visit or a phone call. So I'm going to go to Brisbane and see my nan. I'm going to stay with Yaz and see her family and just, you know, go back to my hometown for a hot second, which is always so funny. I'm always like, is this so weird that I grew up here? So that's the plan for the next few days. And then I'm going to go back to Sydney for my last week and staying with my friend Bella and just going to cram in as many appointments that I need to do, because for the doctors, I feel like they're so much better in Australia and just easier and more accessible. Doctors, you know, get laser done. It's so much cheaper here. Do all my, like, you know, my brows and all the things that I need to do with my people. And then, yeah, it's back to London time. So we kind of just discussed this on the last episode, but I'm like excited, I'm nervous, but I'm ready to get the year moving now once I get back. So that's my like mini life update. In terms of all the anxiety stuff, because I know I obviously touched on it so much in the last few episodes, I feel like I've been feeling a little bit better. I actually went to the doctors and because I'd been speaking to friends about medication, like I kind of was at the point lately where I've been asking people more questions about medication they're taking for anxiety or depression or whatever they're going through. And just kind of so many people had been saying how much it really helped them. So I thought I would explore that option for myself. So I went to the doctors and I just said about how I'd been feeling and asked what they suggested. And so they prescribed me like a really low dose of, I'm not going to like, I don't know if it's like appropriate to say what, but kind of just a medication that helps with anxiety on a really low dose, because I feel like I'm very sensitive to things. And when I tried ADHD medication, it didn't go so well for me. And like, that's probably because it was the wrong medication. And I do still really want to explore that because I think that would help me a lot. I'll do that when I'm back in London because it's kind of a process. But yeah, they put me on a really low dosage of something and I've been taking it for a week now. And so far, so good. They kind of say it takes a little bit of time to start working. But I wanted to share this because I feel like from someone that for years and years and years has struggled with this, I've always been so anti-medication. I was always like, I don't judge anyone that's on medication, but for me, I don't think I need it. I don't ever want to go through that path. There's so many natural ways to help. And I have exhausted all of my options. Like, I've done definitely everything in my power that I can to try and help myself. And I think it was just getting to a point where I was like, at some point, the levels in your head, like your, I forget what it's called, brain chemistry, essentially, it needs some help if it's lacking sometimes. So that's what I've done. And I think I was so grateful to having a lot of friends be so open talking about what medication they were on too. So, and that they're even on medication, and just seeing how much it really helped them kind of gave me the confidence to explore that option for myself. And obviously I knew that if I explored this option and it didn't feel right, I would just come off it. I would speak to my doctor and I would come off it. But I thought, you know, I'm gonna try this and I'm gonna put my pride aside and know that I've tried everything in my power to help. So this was kind of my, you know, my last option. And it was so sweet on the day that I went on medication. I called my friend Kath, who'd helped me a lot. She speaks so openly about mental health and like told me all of her things and stuff. And she came over and she gave me flowers. She's like, I'm so proud of you. It's such a big step. And I think that's so amazing, having that support and having people that understand that and can support your choice in that, because I know a lot of people can be really judgmental about the whole medication thing. And it's such a taboo and no one talks about it very much. So that's my big revelation. I'm really praying that it helps and yeah, just takes the edge off it a little bit until I can get my head above the water, which I feel like I am doing. And I've been speaking to my therapist every week and that's been so amazing for me, finding someone that I really trust and like vibe with. If you're in the same boat, don't feel, you know, ashamed or nervous to be taking that path, but definitely try and speak to a doctor that specializes more in mental health, because I do get a bit scared about doctors that just kind of like slap on anything to you and prescribe it without thinking, because it's not a small thing. It's quite a serious thing and you want to be making sure that you're being monitored properly and that it's actually helping you, not hindering you. So that's my advice on that. I haven't done a Q&A in so long and normally I just answer them on my Instagram, but I get so distracted that I never answer properly. I'll just answer really short. So I'm going to answer some questions I got on Insta on here. How is your body image at the moment? Tips to improve your relationship with your body. I was literally just saying to Yaz the other day, I was like, isn't it crazy how much I've improved on my self-talk? I used to be so bad. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe I just ate that. Like, oh, being a fatty today, like saying so much shit stuff. And I was like, you need to stop doing that. And I feel like my relationship with food has improved so much too. Like, I just let myself eat what I want to eat. I work out, I'm very on top of it, but if I'm feeling tired, I don't pressure myself and burn myself out ridiculously to make it to the gym or anything. Like, one workout's not going to completely define and change your body. A hot girl walk or a little stroll is good enough on the days you're feeling tired. I feel like what's really helped me is also tracking my period, like knowing and understanding why some days I feel way more tired and more mellow and more sensitive. Because before that, I just thought I was like losing my mind essentially, or maybe why in a period of the month you're feeling a little bit more insecure or a little bit more negative about yourself or moody with other people. So I think that's something that's really helped me. But also realizing that no one is looking at you as much as you're looking at your body and judging yourself. Like, it's more important, I think, how you're feeling mentally. Like that's what shows through. Like if you're feeling positive and happy, that is so much more important than putting your body through so much stress and raising your cortisol levels. Like if you actually have a serious goal to get fit and lose weight, stress, anxiety, and overworking out is going to be the last thing that's going to help you lose weight because your cortisol levels are so high. So I think once I understood that too, I was like, I'm going to chill. I'm going to enjoy myself and take the pressure off. And that's where you actually see results. So that is my tips for that. Tips to help being in a relationship with a partner with high anxiety. Okay, so if you're dating someone with anxiety, let's go. I am the person with anxiety that people have to date. I've never personally dated anyone with chronic anxiety. I've definitely dated people that have suffered with depression here and there or like, you know, but never quite seriously. I think if you are with someone that has anxiety, or even a friend that is struggling with mental health problems, like whether you're in a relationship or a friendship, I think these both apply. The best thing you can do for the person you are dating that has anxiety is literally just be a soundboard. Be like, I am here. I support you. Like you are safe. All that that person wants from you when they're anxious is just to know that if they like, okay, because an anxious person essentially thinks when they're anxious that they might possibly die. Like that is our biggest fear as a human is like when you feel out of control or unsafe in your body, your biggest human fear is I might die right now, which is a drastic thing, but it's that fight or flight. It's just like your human condition. It's just what we do. So when someone says to you, your partner or whoever, your friend, oh my God, I'm so anxious right now. Like I'm freaking out about this. Is just, hey, go, hey, it's okay. Just breathe. I'm here. Do you want to talk through it? Do you want a distraction? Like offer them some things. Well, how can you help them? But the most important thing is honestly saying, I am here and you're going to be okay. And just breathe. Don't say to them, but why? What are you freaking out about? Like, it's okay. Don't undermine their feelings because someone that's having an anxious episode or feels uneasy, already feels unsafe. They don't need someone they trust or care about that they're looking at support for to make them feel like they're crazy or that their feelings aren't valid. It obviously can be really confusing trying to help someone when you've maybe never experienced anxiety. And if that's the case, just ask more questions, get curious, ask them, what does it feel like when you're experiencing that? How can I best help you when you feel like that? Do you want space? Do you want me to come closer? Do you want a hug? Like, do you want me to hold your hand? Like, what is it that you need from me? And I think it's just getting curious is so important with that, not just saying like, oh, I don't understand this. Like, I can't help. Like, whoa, you know, because if you care about someone, you want to show up for someone and show them that you care. I also think the best thing is asking people around them, like their friends or people that you know they trust and like that support them. Like for me, I would say to people like, I don't know, just speak to Asho. She'll help you because like that's my person that helps me the most when I'm anxious, like my mini Val, my Valium pill. She's kissing me from afar. So just go and ask Ashton, you know? So I think being curious and wanting to learn and showing that you care is important and knowing that it's not your job to fix it. Don't put that pressure on yourself that they're expecting you to fix it. Someone that's anxious sometimes may act out and like possibly push you away. It's just reassuring them that you are there and that you want to help them. And it's also important if you're in a relationship and you're the one suffering anxiety, I think it is really important that you're taking steps to help yourself because you can't rely on someone to fix it for you. You can only rely on them to hopefully be supportive and help you on your journey to getting better or just handling it better. So, you know, seeking a therapist, seeking more support, like speaking to people you trust or friends or doctor's support is really important because you don't want to put all of your anxiety or mental struggles into your relationship. You want that to be like a positive place where you guys can come, but it is definitely important to find a partner that can best support you through that because it could make so much of a difference to them. Do you have plans to delve into more acting, like making your own short films, acting classes, et cetera? Yes, sweetie, it's been back in acting class. I'm loving it. Actually, I've been doing it for months now. Like I've been working with a coach in London who I love, Jeff, my sweetie. I think I found the best acting coach I've ever had. Like I am obsessed with the man. So that's been really exciting for me doing that and working on that with him. And kind of seeing myself improve and getting more confidence back with it. Because obviously I went to acting school and studied theater for like years and years. lost a lot of my confidence and got really distracted and busy with social media work and the podcast and stuff. But now I'm like, this is my passion. This is my goal. So when I get back to London, just straight back into classes. I've been doing classes while I've been in Australia and SID. I have agents now. So yeah, I'm just excited to keep learning and auditioning and doing all that stuff. Like, it's a long process, but I'm just working towards it. And I would love to do more short films. That was so fun when I made one in LA with Amelie. I love writing, so I would love to write a short film too, but I don't know when I would have fucking time to do that. So hopefully down the line, when I can dedicate more time to this, I would love to do that because I have so many short film ideas. Okay. Oh my God. This one's juicy. Oh, I did say to them, ask me juicy questions. So here we go. Someone said, talk about your most memorable sex experience. I'm nervous. But I just said to Ash, should I say it? She's like, yeah, go on. So, oh God, I'm nervous. I'm sweating. I don't know why I'm nervous because like we talk about so much stuff on here. I'm always like such an open book, but I'm like, no one judge me. I think it's kind of iconic. So Europe last year, I was in Ibiza living my best and I met this guy I met this guy in a club and we got each other's numbers and I left that night and we stayed in touch and we invited him to come to a party with us one night and he literally was an icon. He ended up being the girl's security guard. Like he was like escorting us through and was so, such a cutie, so helpful with everyone and everything. Bless him. I can't believe I'm saying this. Oh my God. We go back to the villa and everyone goes to sleep. How many people were staying in the house with us, Lou?
17.
There was 17 people in this house, right? And I was sharing a room with Lola. So we couldn't, you know, go sleep in her bed. And it was probably like 5 or 6 a.m. So we were sleeping on the couch and everyone was in their rooms in this house and we were in the living room. Ashton and stuff weren't home yet. So, oh my God, and your timing couldn't have been better because if you came back 10 minutes prior. So we're in the living room and we start making out, you know, one thing leads to another and we're getting experimental with where we're, you know, doing our thing. And I say to him, get up and come here. And we walk across the living room, butt ass naked. And there's a pinball machine. And I literally just look at the pinball machine. And then I leant over and all of a sudden the pinball machine lit up. And I was like, this is the most iconic thing I've ever done. And then you can put two and two together what happened. But that's probably my most memorable sex experience. Because it was just like, well, it was funny and the risk that anyone out of the 17 people could have just walked up into the living room when we were butt naked doing that. I would have been fucking mortified. Like imagine if if Ronnie, our friend that's, you know, a bit older, who's like an uncle to me, walked up and saw that. I think I would like never be able to look at him again, like absolutely mortified. Yeah, Ashton got back with Lucas and I can't remember who else you were with. And we were on the couch, like we'd, you know, done our whole escapade and you guys come in and I was trying to sleep and you guys were being so loud and noisy. And I was thinking to myself, holy fuck, imagine if that happened. They came back 10 minutes prior. I would have died a slow death. That would have been fucking horrible. But anyways, that's that one. I can't believe I just told everyone that. I'm sorry, Mom. I hate when we get all sexual and weird and like things get all kinky and like my mother listens to this podcast. Maybe she'll like, go, sweetie. Like, yeah. Like I'd be so proud of her if she did that. She's like, catty.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 your year to finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't actually help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. It's super convenient and helps you with actual conversation tips and tools so that You can learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while on vacation. It can just give you that extra confidence when in a foreign country or a non-English speaking country. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/chaos. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/chaos, spelled BABBEL.com/chaos. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Oh my God, I got such a funny one. Have you and Ash ever hooked up? Well, she was having a sex dream about me the other night. So I think she wants us to. Ashton and I have hooked up, yes, many times.
Just kissed.
Yeah, I'm going to explain. She's like a backseat driver right now, like speaking on the couch. We've like kissed so many times. Like when she's really drunk, she aggressively grabs my face and like our teeth hit. Like she's an aggressive kisser when she's drunk. But yeah, we've made out lots. And then that's why people thought we were dating for a while. Maybe they saw it in person, I'm not sure. But who doesn't kiss the girls when you're drunk? But no punani has been involved. I don't think could ever do that. We did once have a very serious conversation with each other where we said, look, I think life would just be so much easier if we could just date. And we looked at each other and we were like trying to consider if that could be a thing. And it was actually the most fucked thing ever. We were both like, no. It's never going to work. But I do dream of that. Life would be so much easier if Ash and I could just date because we're technically already in a relationship. And like no man will ever compare to her. So, you know, but no, don't get your hopes up, guys. What is the most romantic thing someone has ever done for you? Okay, so I'm going to give you an extreme one, which was like probably the most romantic thing, but also I think little things can also be the most romantic, the most cherished things for me. Like I've had relationships where my partner or whoever I'm dating will leave me little notes or always buy me like the flowers I love, and croissants. If I'm feeling anxious or sad, like that to me is so romantic when you know someone so well and you buy them little things that don't cost too much that mean so much to them. For me, that is so special. I love little notes, like little notes left on your bed pillow or like in your journal or stuck on a mirror somewhere. Like I think that is so lovely and so beautiful and like the most supportive thing you can do and so romantic. So that's one. And then the next like more extreme version, like the most romantic thing I think was Valentine's Day one year when my boyfriend at the time had booked a hotel for us to go to and we were going to have like a weekend there together. And I was not expecting this. I think this is why it was so romantic at the time, because I walked into the room and the entire hotel room was filled with pink love heart balloons, like everywhere. Like it was like not just two little measly balloons. It was everywhere. And there was a massive like fuck off basket of probably 50 sunflowers in this huge basket. Like I was dead because obviously, I don't know if you guys know, sunflowers are my favorite flowers ever. They just make me so happy. And like, this is in London. It was winter. It is so hard to source sunflowers. They don't grow anywhere near there at that time. Like it's too cold. So I don't know where he got them. He said that it was like a mission to try and get these sunflowers. And so I was like blown away. It was just like such a cute moment because in my head, I thought that the room wasn't going to have anything in it because it was actually a few days after, like a week after Valentine's Day, and he'd already gotten me like flowers and roses on Valentine's Day and had like gifts for me. And so this was like an extra thing on top. And yeah, it just meant so much. And he got me a ring that had my star sign engraved in it. Like I obviously don't wear it anymore because we're broken up and that would be fucking weird. But it was just sweet. It was so personal and I love that. And it was extravagant. And I'm so big on romantic gestures. And we went out for dinner to my favorite place. And the next day he had like massages booked because he knows that I love that. So that was probably the most romantic thing. And the only other one I could think of is like when someone makes you like a video of memories of you guys together. I love that too because I'm so nostalgic. And yeah, they're my cute little romantic moments. I have to do this. Do you have enemies or people you strongly dislike? Guys, fuck. I have enemies in London. I definitely have some people that don't like me, which is okay. Not everyone likes everyone. But they are shitty circumstances because they're to do with boys, which is not normally my thing. I don't have any enemies. I wouldn't say they're enemies. I just think these people just don't like me. And totally valid. It's fine. Everyone can have their own opinion. But it's weird because in Australia, I don't feel like I have any people that I've got bad blood with. Like I'm very like chilled here. But when I moved to London, I obviously started dating someone and I became friends with quite a few of his friends. And he had a girl best friend that I was friendly with. And when this person I broke up, I confided in her quite a lot and told her a lot about my personal life and what I was doing while I was broken up. And I found out that she was going back to him and plotting with him on catching up with me to get information to tell him. And I was like, okay, that's really fucked up. And she said so many things that I was like, whoa, you are not a girl's girl. And I was really hurt by it. So obviously we had quite a big falling out when I broke up with my ex and like we removed each other online and stuff and all of that. A few months went by and I started dating this guy after, you know, when I was single after my relationship. And I never spoke to this guy much about his past relationships. He was much more closed off about talking about it. I didn't tell him who I used to date and like he didn't really speak much about it. We didn't even follow each other on Instagram. It was so private. We just started talking on Raya. And my ex's best friend, let's call her Ashley, I never heard about, like she never showed me a photo of her ex, right? I only saw like one of her exes from like years and years ago, not the most recent ex. So I'd been seeing this guy for a bit and a month or so went past and I was on the phone to one of my ex's friends and we were just having a catch-up chat and I asked him, hey, by the way, do you know this guy? Let's call him Jeffrey. Do you know Jeffrey? John? Jeffrey John. Do you know Jeffrey John? And he goes, that's Ashley's ex-boyfriend. So my ex's best girlfriend, who I had this big falling out with, I was now dating her ex-boyfriend. Much to my surprise, like I literally did not know they were exes. And I was thinking, oh my God, this girl 100% thinks I have gone after her boyfriend. Like there's no way in hell because it's too uncanny that the first person I start dating after my ex is my ex's best friend's ex-boyfriend. So I was mortified. I remember on the phone to my friend that like we had mutual friends, I threw the phone. Like he can vouch, he is my alibi and vouch me that I absolutely did not know because I was fucking mortified. I was like, this can't be happening. Like I don't need enemies in London. This can't be happening. And I definitely felt really bad, but also I felt like, whoa, like kind of karma. Like, I'm sorry. No, there was just a lot of things that were really fucked about what she said about me and my friends. And it was all just really messy. And I would never actually go after someone's ex for revenge. I'm not a very spiteful person like that. I would just prefer to move on with my life. But that happened. And I still to this day am like, she would never have known that I didn't know. I actually called the guy that I was dating and I said, I've got a real big issue with you to pick. You never told me that you dated Ashley. Like, because he eventually found out who my ex was. He knew that they were friends. I was like, you never told me you dated Ashley. Like, this is going to cause some serious issues for me because, well, she's going to hate me. Not that I care about if she likes me or not, but I don't need her causing grief in my life. She's going to hate me. All of her friends are then going to hate me. They're going to think I purposely did this when I wish you kind of just maybe gave me a heads up. Because there was no photos on his Instagram. There was no photos on hers. Like I didn't follow her anymore. So I couldn't see if they'd, you know, anyways, it was just a whole shit show. So sorry, Ashley. I really didn't know. I'm not still with him anymore. If you guys were wondering, we're like friendly. It's like, whatever. He's just a silly, goofy boy. But that mortifies me actually, that whole thing. because I really hate, you know what? There's two sides to every story. And I feel like so much of the time people love to gossip and chat and make assumptions without just asking someone what the deal is. Because obviously we assume that people are so vindictive and evil, but I think I just got a little bit unlucky in that situation. Or lucky, I don't know. Maybe it is karma, but I don't like to look at it like that because I would never purposely do anything to upset someone. So that's my tea. Wow, I'm sweating. I didn't know I was going to be telling all these stories today, like Pinball Machine, Ashley, dating, whatever, people's exes. The thing is with London, it's a really small inner circle, I feel. And I think being like new in the town, you don't really know like who's on what territory. But everyone, it always sucks. Like whoever the girlfriend is after the ex, like after the breakup, it's always this like horrible, uncomfortable thing because the ex-girlfriend's always going to hate you. You know what? Something about me, I fall in love with my ex-boyfriend's new girlfriends. Like, this is the funny, Ashton's always like, you're so fucking weird. So like my first boyfriend's girlfriend, I'm obsessed with her. I don't know if she knows this. I guess she'll know now. I think she's the coolest. Like when they started dating, I was always like, fuck this girl. I'm so hurt. Like whatever. And I wasn't like, I was really upset and hurt about it. As the years have gone on, I've become obsessed with her. I think she's, I totally get it. I'm like, oh my God, go off. I totally get why you're with this girl. She's so hot. She's so cool. Like I'm like, yes. And I love when I run into her and them together. Like it's the funniest thing. I get excited. I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see her. Like, it's just so weird. We get along really well. And then like, obviously with my other ex, I started seeing who he was dating from online and I was like, go off. She's like cute. Seems sweet. I'll be like, wow, she seems so grounded, like head on her shoulders. Like they've never done anything wrong to me. You know, these girls have never done anything wrong to me. So why should I be hating on them? I end up becoming obsessed with them. I'm like, wow, how did my shitty ex pull you? Not all my exes are shitty. And yeah, I'm always so shocked how they've pulled baddies. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm really different to most people. I don't really hate on the new girlfriend because I'm like, poor doll, you don't know what you've got yourself in for. But also they might be a way better fit than I was with them. So anyways, I'm rambling now, but love to all my exes, new girlfriends. Love you. So there's some things about me you guys might not know. Anyways, that's all for my solo app. My underarms are genuinely sweating. I'm like so nervous telling all of these things, but I'm going to get Asher back on for another app. So love you guys. Bye.